Kid Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us till this country that we love's undivided.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
All right. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior radio broadcast. This Monday, October 2nd, 2023. And I think before I go to this thing that I was just talking about, maybe let's go to the phones real quick and grab Ken in Texas. Ken, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Hi, it's hard to keep up with you because you cover a lot of ground so quickly, so I'll just go ahead and plow through.
And that's kind of why I was going to pause so that, you know, I don't go further on down the road.
Well, it's certainly not a complaint. I learn a lot from you. I really do, so I appreciate it. And while I'm giving out thanks, my thanks to the producers as well for taking all my calls. But I just have to wonder, you know, I get a little itch on my head, I got a scratch, and if all these bumbling maneuvers by the resident crime family in the White House aren't some Sun Tzu in action.
Absolutely.
By allowing you to think that they're bumbling fools when quite the opposite. He knows exactly what he's doing. And I really look at it that way because I can't imagine that it would be the reality of what they're, the fake reality of what they're presenting.
So, you know, usually, you know, I think, again, back to Hoover's 1956 Elks article, Communist New Look, when he said that, or he wrote that, the individual is handicapped by coming face to face with a conspiracy so monstrous he cannot believe it exists. It's somewhere in the back of your mind, I think for most people, you know, lurking in the back of their minds is the possibility, you know, of how Hoover put it there and kind of what you're talking about. And so instead of confront that possibility, most people would rather, I think, retreat to Hanlon's razor, which says, never attribute to men or malice that which is adequately explained by stupidity. And obviously someone like Joe Biden, the way that he, you know, I wonder if he's, if they just have him stupefied through pharmacological means or what, because it's, you know, it's hard to imagine that he's really that completely checked out. So, but we know, I mean, it's not even really, you can't possibly imagine that out of the thousands of people that are a part of any White House administration, that the policies that get implemented are exclusively the purview of the commander in chief, so to speak. That's just not, that's not reality. And, you know, in this case, the proof of that is the minute that the Biden administration comes into office, they start adopting wholesale the World Economic Forum's Build Back Better program. And that was what the website was, buildbackbetter.gov, and they had their whole transition team, and they talked about all that stuff, the agency review teams and all of that. Before they were even in office, they were adopting it wholesale. So, I mean, it's proof of your point, and we still maintain this cognitive dissonance as though we should ascribe to stupidity that which seems to be publicly evident as malice. So it's kind of insane.
Yeah, I think, I mean, these guys are really crafty. If you think about it, if they can deceive Eve and Adam in the garden when there was no sin and everything was pretty crystal clear,
yeah,
how much more so in a fallen world?
Absolutely.
But the point I'm getting to is the issue of them telling us in advance what they're going to be doing.
Yeah.
Is, I think, more of a soft sell.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like preconditioning the right hook.
Yeah.
You know, to expect the right hook. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, well, it's going to come anyhow, so I might as well just grin and bear it.
Yeah.
Which jumps into the next loop regarding the churches, where, you know, since the Civil War time, give or take a decade or two, dispensationalism, which I call dispensationalism, has preconditioned people to not do anything because it's the last days, so eat, drink, and be merry. Or
yeah.
Maybe not quite that bold, or whatever the right word is, but it's all prophesied to happen, so why bother getting involved?
Yep.
I think that's one of the biggest problems, is that line of thinking, where even if you take a even cursory look at the New Testament, never did it advocate doing such a thing. You're always to remain involved, if not to work harder, because it was the last times.
Yeah.
And so that, I think, if only we could get the ecclesia to awaken to that reality and not be asleep in their pew.
Yeah.
Pun intended. I really think that would make the biggest change over anything.
And so one of the nuances with dispensationalism, I think the reason why it's so crafty and misleading, and I really like the way Jaron Lanier contrasts that with the singularity in You Are Not a Gadget, a manifesto. I've talked about that many times, but I think the reason why dispensationalism works so well is because, you know, maybe it's kind of like communism, and what I say about communism sort of being the antithesis of the Pentecostal moment in Acts chapter 2. And so the question is, who decides? Because the communist slogan sounds similar, very similar to what you read in Acts 2:45, for example. So are you saying, Chris, that dispensationalism, you know, there aren't these dispensations, or the concept of dispensation generally? I mean, after all, what's the Old Testament, the New Testament? Well, again, the reason why I raise the, you know, the issue of communism and the point that I make about that is because I always come back lately to the question, who's in charge, who decides? And isn't it kind of a curious coincidence that when we hear about dispensationalism, it's usually man, some man telling us, you know, well, now is the time, really, according to whom? I mean, kind of God, but not really. So it seems, you know, this is a convenient doctrinal statement that's brought onto the scene at a particularly opportune moment, and there isn't really, I think, the substantive basis behind it that we are led to believe. So when you investigate, that's where the that's where I think the, you know, the casual observer sort of misses the nuance. And that's why I keep talking about meta, the idea that it's, you know, it's not the lies or the deception or the misleading on the face of it. It's, you have to look a little deeper. And the question to me is, who's in charge, who decides? And that, I think, settles every matter in almost every case I've been noticing.
Yeah, it's just turned into a cult of personality.
Yeah, absolutely.
Every 10 years or so, you have a new crop of frontline dispensationalists that regather the herd and herd them into the corral so they can be branded.
Yep.
It's such a critical time for people to pray and really seek God out and see what He would have them do at this point in time, and to not get so distracted. I mean, it's easy to get distracted. I mean, it really is. If it's not football, it's basketball or baseball or you know, even golf.
Absolutely. And the drama that unfolds. I don't know how many people heard about that, but, you know, I mentioned Ryder Cup on Friday, obviously, and there was some drama, you know, and I said, you know, let's behave like gentlemen. And I think it was Joe LaCava, the caddy for Patrick Cantlay, who got into a skirmish with Rory McIlroy, which turned into something later, and everybody's talking about it. They sorted it out. No, maybe they didn't. Anyway, yeah, distractions, to your point.
Well, and it's encouraging us to fight among ourselves. And, you know, you have Pittsburgh against Oakland, or Las Vegas, I should say, and so on and so forth. And everybody's, you know, wearing their colors.
Yeah.
And it's all preconditioning everybody to fight amongst themselves rather than putting away their differences and standing together bottom line, for the truth of the matter, without getting into all the tangential issues regarding that. I really wanted to chime in about that Sun Tzu stuff, because these guys are masters of deception.
Yep.
And which is not a surprise, considering who they consider God to be. I think people have to stop being led by the masters of deception and get back to seeking the Most High God out, and what He would have them to do, and have them think, and to really do a deep dive into their faith. Because if ever there was a time where we needed the ecclesia to come together and be unified, it would be now. And
amen.
It's almost hard to say that, because, you know, you don't want to you don't want to get caught up in equivocation, because have redefined all the terms. And speaking of that, I like to turn that around and do it myself. So
I do too.
What I've come up with lately is regarding the fires in Maui, is I like to call that the Lahaina cost.
Oh, yeah.
And so whenever that other word comes up, you can say, oh, you mean like the Lahaina cost?
Very clever. That, I like it.
Would help people to shake up their synaptic gaps a little bit. But anyhow, I'll let you get back at it. But thank you for taking my call and let me get that off my mind. And I'll get back to listening. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ken. Much appreciated.
Bye.
Much appreciated. Yeah, that's good stuff. I think, you know, I don't know. I think there are, you know, there is, so there's the false awakening, the reawaken America stuff. There's that kind of stuff is floating around. But I think there are folks who are genuinely, and it's not publicized, it's not televised. The revival will not be televised. Maybe we should play that. Maybe we'll play that when we come back. But I mean, just to give one, well, maybe two examples. One for sure. As a means of encouragement, perhaps. I tell the story about the question about communism. Chris, I think communism is a religion. Talk amongst yourself, kind of thing. So I had a dear friend pose that to me years and years ago, about 15 years ago. Called me late at night. I thought something was wrong. And he just said that, basically. I've been thinking about this, and he seemed like, you know, he wasn't telling me something. I thought, man, what is wrong? Finally, he says, you know, I've been thinking about this. I think communism is a religion. Think about it. Don't tell me what you think now, but think about it. Get back to me. And as I have said, I thought about it for years and didn't really have an answer. And then finally, what I just described, as Ken and I were talking, that finally dawned on me. Reading Acts chapter 2. And it's interesting that, you know, the discussion on this, you know, the communist discussion points to Acts chapter 4 usually. That's kind of where they want to go. Well, that's what was happening. And yeah, I mean, you can see that there. But really, this starts in Acts chapter 2. And so speaking of the deception that Ken was talking about, it's just interesting how that works. You know, it's misdirection. It's not quite on point. It's slightly off point. Like those churches that have the cross, but, you know, no, it's from an angle. It's from an angle, and that's why it's, you know, a couple of degrees off. Is it really? Is it, I mean, first of all, you know, is that the message you want to send? But then speaking of the message, is there more to the message there than meets the eye? Because that's kind of interesting. Anyway, but I said Acts 2:45, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them all as anyone might have need. Oh, that's what Karl Marx said. From each according to his ability, to each according to his need, right? It's the same thing. Chris, come on. You can't see that? It's the same thing. Sure, on the face of it, it's the same thing. I completely agree. And that's why the deception works so well. Because to the casual observer, it's the same thing. But again, the question is, who's in charge? Who decides? In Acts chapter 2, this is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This is, if you understand what's going on, this is a powerful thing. Jesus himself said, guys are like, where are you going, man? Can we go with you? No, guys, it's okay. It's good that I go. I will send the helper. That's what he said. It's good. Jesus Christ, the Savior of all mankind, our only hope. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, it's good that I go. For now, anyway. It's good that I go. I will send the helper. And the helper shows up. Wow. It's pretty amazing. And so the question is, who's in charge? Who decides? What is the distinction? I'll unpack that just a little to finish the thought when we come back. Stick around.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button, like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Einstein once said, future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies. What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Segment. Anyway, let me finish the thought. So, Acts chapter 2, this friend calls me 15 years ago, late at night, says, I think, Chris, communism is religion. Tell me what you think. Not now. Think about it. Tell me later. Thought about it for 15 years. Yes, communism is the anti-Christian religion. Not a surprise. Again, the more you look into the background of these guys, the Marxes, the Jungs, the Freuds, the Nietzsches, the William James, the, you know, all of these guys, they all somewhere along the way, they have some, you know, encounter with, let's just call it, for lack of a, you know, for the sake of argument, we'll call it Orthodox Christianity. It's usually not, but, and there's more to that story, the deception that leads them astray, that's, you know, whole different conversation. But for now, let's just say they have an encounter with Christianity. And next thing you know, they're, you know, visiting with familiar spirits or something like that. In the case of guys like Carl Jung, for example, and, you know, most of the others, it's the Second Corinthians 11 kind of stuff. It's that territory, you know, disguising themselves as angels of light. Of course, you know, again, I mean, this is the strategy. It's so crazy that this stuff is all in the Bible in the simplest sense. You know, all of the Sun Tzu stuff is all in the Bible. Convincing your, you know, what I was talking about earlier. I mean, so Sun Tzu, you know, it is said that if you know, well, let me back up. I mentioned in the first hour, you know, Sun Tzu wrote in chapter 3, Strategic Attack, for to win 100 victories in 100 battles is not the acme of skill. You know, to bat 1,000 in battle is not the acme of skill. What is the acme of skill? To subdue the enemy without fighting is the acme of skill. And so how do you do that? Well, you back up and he says, it is said that if you know your enemies and you know yourself, you will not be imperiled in 100 battles. If you do not know your enemy, but you do know yourself, you will win one and lose one. If you do not know your enemies nor yourself, you will be imperiled in every single battle. And that's where we've, that's the trajectory that we've gone in the last, you know, well, for a long time, let's say. It's, things have been moving that direction in America for a long time. The more we are encouraged to believe that science is our God, you know, scientism is our new religion, and the Bible is outmoded and anachronistic, and that that's just superstition, the more we don't know ourselves or our enemy or our creator and defender, for that matter, the one who is at Isaiah 52:12 that says, I think it's Isaiah 52:12. You will not go out in haste, nor will you go as fugitives, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. He goes before and is your rear guard. Man, that's what you see when the Israelites flee, or when they leave Egypt, and then they come to the Red Sea. He was going before them, and he was their rear guard. That's, you know, that's solid. You can't do better than that. Anyway, as I said in the first hour, to subdue the enemy without fighting is the acme of skill. Well, how crazy would it be to convince the enemy that you're actually their friend? They don't read 2 Corinthians. They don't read 2 Corinthians 11. They don't understand that, you know, the enemy comes as a friend. The CIA is masterful at that. They always use these human rights groups as front groups to go, you know, go gathering intel, you know, on reconnaissance and counterintelligence missions. And the kids don't even know that they're doing it. What a, you know, what a perfect front. They're gathering things. They don't even know what they're gathering. And they're reporting back to CENTCOM. They don't even realize that they're doing that because it's through degrees of separation and they're compartmentalized. They think they're on a mission. It's great. We're doing a humanitarian thing. It's great. So you know what? We're your friends. We're your friends. What do you mean? And then, like I said, you know, you got the Hanlon's Razor contingent. Robert Heinlein wrote in Logic of Empire, you have attributed conditions to villainy that simply result from stupidity. Maybe sometimes, but not always. Maybe sometimes, but not always. And then there's Baudelaire. Yeah. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say. Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm on to something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Welcome back. Let me finish my thought without, you know, just jumping off on tangents quickly. There's a lot of weird stuff going on. One of the things that I think I'm seeing, but I'm not sure, and I'm not exactly sure how to test it, but I think I have seen You know, speaking of the, and I'll get back to this other thing in a second. I promise I will. I think I've been seeing articles that are written by AI. You know, we've talked about Google's selfish ledger and those kinds of things. You know, speaking of Sun Tzu, you know, and convincing you that you know, learned helplessness, subduing the enemy without fighting. I would say, you know, Sun Tzu, you know, if you said to Sun Tzu, you know, how about I'll see you subduing the enemy without fighting, and I will raise you convincing the enemy that you are their savior. I think Sun Tzu would be like, ooh, yeah, that's something. So, you know, from Hanlon's Razor, I mean, if you go to the Hanlon's Razor Wikipedia entry, for example, once is happenstance, twice is coincidence, third time is enemy action. Just as an example, I mentioned Hanlon's quote from Logic of Empire, which is included on the Hanlon's Razor Wikipedia page. So Hanlon was a CIA guy. And, you know, who else is mentioned in reference to Hanlon's Razor? Let's see, William James. Later that same year, the Jargon File editors noted lack of knowledge about the term's derivation and the existence of a similar epigram by William James. Old school bad guy William James. That's two. That's coincidence. And then lastly, earlier attributions to the idea go back to at least the 18th century, Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, Mr. Faust, wrote in the first entry of his influential epistolary novel, The Sorrows of Young Werther, misunderstandings and lethargy perhaps produce more wrong in the world than deceit and malice do. At any rate, the latter two are certainly rarer. And lest we doubt, you know, third time is enemy action, what's a fourth then? And last entry then, another variation appears in The Wheels of Chance, published in 1896 by none other than Fabian socialist H.G. Wells. So that's four, and there are more. But that's four entries. Why is there such an effort to convince us, to persuade us and influence us to believe that which should be ascribed to malice can be adequately explained by stupidity? Why are we encouraged to believe, no. And that's why I say, with examples like, you know, the subprime contagion, it would be like, you know, to have the circumstances come together the way that they did would be like baking an apple pie on accident. Is that stupidity or is that malice? An arsenic-laced apple pie. Would that be... Has anyone ever accidentally made a perfect arsenic-laced apple pie? I doubt it. Don't see how that would be possible. Most people don't keep arsenic in the kitchen, for obvious reasons. So, should we really ascribe to stupidity what can be, you know, I mean, isn't that how means, motive, and opportunity work? Not that we need to go around pronouncing the innocent guilty, but you know, there's another aphorism, where there's smoke, there's fire. So from the persuasion of Hanlon's Razor, never attribute to malice that which is adequately explained by stupidity. From the persuasion of Hanlon's Razor, I think of Charles Baudelaire and his... You know, the finest trick of the devil is to persuade you that he does not exist. And that was, again, paraphrased in The Usual Suspects. as the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist. How genius. And then from there, you know, and by the way, Baudelaire, you know, Swedenborgian, what was the coup? One of the big coups, speaking of, you know, the whole dispensational conversation and that kind of, that whole crowd, that whole tidal wave of influence, along with it came the Swedenborgian and the Spinozan influence. Swedenborg's, I think, coup d'etat was, you know, maybe above all the idea of universal salvation. That even guys like Billy Graham and others have talked about, which is a grand deception. If you don't know who Charles Baudelaire is, read William Blake and the Radical Swedenborgians. And for that matter, you know, I remember thinking that poetry, really, most of the popular poetry, especially coming out of the Romantic era and stuff, which really seems kind of like, you know, to me anyway, a lot of it seems I mean, for lack of a better description, pornographic, quite frankly. There's just something not right about it. So speaking of that, you know, and the post or the, you know, the piece William Blake and the Radical Swedenborgians, Robert Graves put it best. I think I mentioned this last week in The White Goddess. He wrote, "The goddess is a lovely, slender woman with a hooked nose, deathly pale face." Is this Taylor Swift that he's describing? Anyway, deathly pale face, lips red as rowan berries, startling blue eyes, and long fair hair. She will suddenly transform herself into sow, mare, bitch, vixen, she-ass, weasel, serpent, owl, she-wolf, tigress, mermaid, or loathsome hag. Is that the witch of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs? And on and on. Is it Rapunzel, et cetera, et cetera? Her names and titles are innumerable. In ghost stories, she often figures as the White Lady. And in ancient religions, from the British Isles to the Caucasus, as the White Goddess. I cannot think of any true poet, and this is where this is the point right here. I cannot think of any true poet from Homer onwards who has not independently recorded his experience of her. And then here's the punchline. The test of a poet's vision, one might say, is the accuracy of his portrayal of the White Goddess and of the island over which she rules. The reason why the hair stands on end, the eyes water, the throat is constricted, the skin crawls, and a shiver runs down the spine when one writes or reads a true poem, is that a true poem? Remember what I talked about with imagination last week? This is what bad guys write about this. A true poem, Robert Graves writes, is, or who knows, maybe he's influenced. A true poem is that, a true poem is necessarily an invocation of the White Goddess or Muse, the mother of all living, the ancient power of fright and lust, the female spider or the queen bee. Isn't that the nickname of Beyonce Knowles, for example, whose embrace is death? I think he sort of spelled it out there. Anyway, why is there an effort to persuade us the devil doesn't exist and that whatever can be explained by stupidity shouldn't be ascribed to malice? And, oh, by the way, maybe your kidnapper is your friend and your savior. In patently Second Corinthians 11 sort of fashion, verses 13 through 15. Interesting. Why do you suppose that is? That's interesting, and it's all pretty simple. It's not really even that complicated. Anyway, back to this other stuff. This friend calls and says, I think communism is religion. Think about it. I think about it for 15 years. Turns out communism is the antithesis of Christianity. But the question is, who decides? So in Acts chapter 2, it's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And you see, you know, that, I mean, it's foreshadowed in Acts chapter 1. So when they had come together, they were asking him, Jesus, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. Yeah. And the counterfeit is what? Operation Bluebeam or whatever new variant is cooked up, or what was planned before. That Bluebeam was a predictive programming way to discredit the message and messenger again, like I was talking about with the protocols. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away, etc., etc. And then all of a sudden, Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. As the Spirit, the Holy Spirit was giving them utterance. And so what happens? Well, now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered, because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, why are not all these who are speaking Galileans? Or they're saying, why are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is this possible, basically? And how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the districts of Libya around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them in our own tongue speaking of the mighty deeds of God. And they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others were mocking and saying, they're full of sweet wine. But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. First thing in the morning. They haven't even had coffee yet. But this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. So anyway, you skip forward to Acts 2:45, which I read earlier. This is the Pentecostal moment, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so the Spirit decides. God decides here. And that answers the question, who's in charge here? Who decides here? It's the Holy Spirit. Fast forward to 2:45, they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. And the proof of that is in Acts 4 and 5, when Peter confronts Ananias and Sapphira, and he says, he doesn't say, why did you lie to the state or why did you lie to me? He says, why did you lie to God? Contrast that with the influence, which I would say is, 1 John 5:19 territory of communism, socialism. It's a very anti-God influence, which comes from the rebels who get their influence from what Saul Alinsky referred to as the first radical in his, ode to Lucifer in Rules for Radicals. So the point of all of that is to say this friend calls, says this, I thought about it. Anyway, this friend called last night. I missed his call, another late night call. Sent me a message first thing this morning. Talked to him since then, obviously. But, it reminded me of that. And actually, he called me last night, sent me a message early this morning, around 7 a.m. his time. And that's pretty early, I would say, for most of us, and said, hey, do you have a quick second? I said, yeah. And so we talked for a while, and similar stuff, he mentioned an exchange that we had recently, and, that he listened to Jamie Walden talking about the Perestroika deception, which obviously is a reference to Anatoly Golitsyn's book, The Perestroika Deception, and, this plan. And so he says, this is the thing. What do you think? And I said, well, I started talking about, 10 years ago, the Glasnost Perestroika deal that was going on here. Glasnost, openness and transparency, Perestroika, reconstruction, or maybe nation building. Remember Barack Obama? America, we need nation building here at home, over and over. Same thing. So absolutely. And he goes, I guess I should have been listening 10 years ago. Anyway, the point of all of that is to say, to Ken's, point, I think that there are folks who are really drawing together. The end of the conversation is the encouragement. We ended with prayer, and it was powerful, I think, where two or more are gathered in my name, Jesus said, I will be there also. And so we were doing that. We were lifting people up, especially as family members, in prayer, and unleashing the Holy Spirit dynamite in the lives of people to the extent we're able, because God is a gentleman. He doesn't impose himself. And so, inviting the Holy Spirit into lives and circumstances and things, and I think that's encouraging. I hope it is for a lot of folks. Anyway, without further ado, to the phones, James in Vancouver, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, sir. I have to apologize to the American people that I did not send flowers to the passing of Dianne Feinstein.
I was wondering, was that the reason for flags at half-mast?
For a senator, is that
Oh, no. I don't know what the reason was. We had flags at half mast over the weekend, and I maybe I should say that I'm ashamed to say I don't know why. Was it that?
Well, I don't know what the protocol is, but it can't be good. But
yeah.
Obviously, another news story we had this week was John Kerry's daughter, who has an English accent. Can you imagine that?
Yeah,
she has an
imagine
English
that.
Accent. And because she spent a year or two at Oxford, and it's, I'd say, disgusting, but... by the way, the question, who's in charge, who decides? 10 minutes after I got off the phone with you, I believe it was Friday, I realized it's each and every individual. In the sense that we all decide whether or not we're going to walk down the road of, what's the word, perdition? Or we walk down the road of self-preservation. And having lived in China, that part of the world, for a long time, I learned to deal with people who have no faith in or no discernment and no ability to pray in order to ask divine intervention for the difficulties they may encounter. This is one of the experiences I've never really related to anyone on this network, but living among those who seem to be what is the word? Going, walking the wheel, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
Generations have trod. That's T.S. Eliot, I believe. Back to you.
Well, that's ironic that you mentioned T.S. Eliot based on, you know, my citation of Robert Graves from The White Goddess. So.
Yes. I
ironic,
that, yes.
Yes. So,
not with a bang, but a whimper. This mm-hmm. is the way the world ends.
Yeah.
And today, I was at my favorite Walmart, and there is no cocoa anymore.
Uh-oh.
There is no chocolate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can't live like kings anymore. We can't get everything we want all the time, whenever we want. What?
These indeed are the end times, sir. Want to hold me over?
That's it. That's it. I would love to, but we're at the end of
we're
the
done.
Deal.
Well, all right.
Yes.
No further questions, Your Honor. Okay, bye now.
Thank you, James. Much appreciated as always. That's it. That is it for us. With a bang and a whimper, maybe. So that'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. Perhaps even edifying with a little bit of levity. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.